Okay, we're holding on 14B. We just got finished describing Shlomo HaMelech. Just to give you a drop of an introduction to this discussion of Shlomo HaMelech, just so you should hear, there are two psukim. One is in Divrei Hayom and Beis, and one is in Shmuel Aleph Ches. Both are describing Shlomo HaMelech being mispalel after he built the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the, like, you know, the inauguration, I guess you'd call it, right? The inaugural prayer. Okay, so in Divrei Hayom and Beis, it's Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayom lefnei mizbach Hashem neged kol chayei Yisrael vayifros kapov. One second. Yeah, that's one pasuk. Then it's ki asher Shlomo ki ar nechoshes vayitneu b'soch ha'azara chomei sham asar kom chomei sham asrocho v'am asher sholosh chomoso. He made this kiyar, which was pretty large, 5 amas by 5 amas by 3 amas. Vayamo the lovely stood on it. Vayivrach al birkov. So, what? I'm reading a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. Straight from the note. It's not in there. No. I'm just trying to give you this to kind of put exactly what we're talking about here. So the language here on the pasuk is Vayivrach al birkov neged kol chayei Yisrael. Vayifros kapov hashamayim. This. So in one place it says Vayivrach, Brecha. In Lachem Aleph, it says, what's the Pasuk? Ches, what is it? What is the Pasuk exactly again? 54, yeah, I'm covering it with my thing here. 54. Correct. So this pasuk is talking about the end of the tefillah. So he got up. Here it's a lashon of kriya. So one pasuk says kriya, and one pasuk says bricha. So it's a question exactly. What exactly are these two things? Number one. Number two is the secondary question is going to be what exactly is this this idea of putting out his hands? Very often I see people davening like this, and it's really, we're going to see it's not such a simple thing to do that. That's not recommended. No, it's not recommended. We're going to see in a second. So it says, Izuhu Kriya. So that we're the third line on Yudalam base, Izuhu Kriya Vezu Richa. That is the question the Yisham is asking. What is the difference? Now, the Yisham doesn't really answer this question. It never really says what the difference is exactly. It just quotes a story where you have these people who are demonstrating what this is in front of Rebbe. So Rabbi Kiya Rabba Harab Richa Lefne Rebbe, he demonstrated Richa. The Nifsach, the Nisrape, he came lame, then he got healed. Rav Levi Brasisi, Hera Kriya Lefnei Rabbi, he did the same thing, but he did Kriya instead of Bricha, he did Kriya. Nifsach V'lo Nisrape, so he didn't get healed. So presumably, according to our Gersa, the way we have it here, so which one would be harder to do or harder on the body? So Kriya would be harder than Bricha because presumably the one that got healed didn't do as much, wasn't as strenuous, wasn't as stressful to the body. Yeah. That is Levi, correct. By the way, I did a search on Levi Bar Sisi. Does not exist in Bavli. It only exists in Yerushalmi. Levi Bar Sisi does exist several times in the Yerushalmi. I have no idea why he's called Reb Levi or Rab Levi or whatever it is. He's just called Levi in Bavli. Okay. And the other thing to note is that they say that the Mefarshim point out that in the stories in the Bavli, Levi did what's called Kedo, which is where he's standing on his thumbs, and there's a whole thing. Now, the Bavli says that the reason why he was punished was because during a certain kindness, he tiach varm klapi mala, And he went ahead and he said to the Bnei Shalom, "What is it? What are you doing to your children?" or something like that. It was considered a little bit too aggressive in his that's called hitiach form klapei mala, and therefore he was punished on this occasion for it's really not because of the actual kaid that he was doing, but it was because he was getting the punishment for some other reason. In which case, there's no indication here which one is more strenuous than the other, because the reason why he was hurt had nothing to do with how difficult it was. Okay. Kapar Pusas Hashemayim. Now let's talk about Shlomo HaMelech's hands being spread out. It's like this person who is arthritic. That's the way he was standing. Now, this arthritic language over here is, and Shamsi, you might be able to help us with this. In the bottom here, he says, in the bottom of footnote 7, he says that the commentators describe that the term Nachtim is referring to someone afflicted with podagra. Is that how you pronounce it? Podagra, which I looked up online, is a type of gout. It's an old term for gout. So, at any rate, the point of this is that someone who's a healthy person will be able to do like this, right? A healthy person. But obviously, if he's on his knees, right, he can't be on his knees and holding up his hand. It's just not going to work. So, therefore, the Yerushalmi is basically saying he's kind of like this. Kind of like this, I guess. I'm not sure 100%, but it's more of a crouching, something like that. That seems to be what he's trying to say over here. Now, Amar Belazar Bar Avino, Kapayim Halolu, like these hands that are wide and Shalom Nafu Bebinyan Beis Hamikdash Klum. What Shlomo HaMelech is trying to tell Klal Yisrael is, my hands are empty, meaning I didn't take anything. I did not benefit at all from this Beis HaMikdash. It was obviously a very large project, a lot of gold, a lot of silver, a lot of copper. And he's trying to tell them, I didn't take anything from this Beis HaMikdash. This might be, by the way, a kind of, I don't know if you find it in other places where, this is an Eitz HaTov, they say, that before Rosh Hashanah, going into Rosh Hashanah, you should pay off all your debts, and you should owe nobody any money. This is considered a schooler for your tefillos to be heard, because this might be a little bit of a mucker. We see it in Torah also. Whenever the leaders got up, they said, we never took anything from you, and everything. That's considered a way to come to the Bnei Shalom. And he was very successful, obviously, because right after he finished his tefillah, an Esh comes down with Hashemayim. So this is obviously an important element of that. Tonerab Kav Chlafta Ben Shol HaKol Shochachin Im Shliach Tzibur B'Hodo. Now we're kind of like moving on from the Beis HaMikdash, but now we're going to go back to Modim. So everybody bows down with the Shliach Tzibur by... When Chazar Sashatz, this is talking about the Modim Drabbanan, obviously, that everybody bows down together. And Reb Ze'era Amar Vovad B'Modim, but only when he says Modim, meaning you don't just bow down and stay in the bow down position the entire Modim while the Shliach Tzibur is davening the whole Modim. You just bow down when he says Modim and you bow down as well. Important to note. So, see, I brought a couple of swarms here. I just want to point something out to you guys. I'll point it out in a second. If you've opened it before. Sorry. Oh my goodness. I think I might go. Okay, let me go right there. Okay. Fine. Reb Zeira Sovel Karva. he would wait. And he would, let's see over here. They would bow only when the emissary of the congregation says modem. That means when he said, when the shliach tzibur said modem. So he saw Rabbi Zeira saw a little korova. So this korova thing, it's not exactly clear what that is. It sounds like korovets. It sounds like he would say some sort of a tefillah. Over here, he says it's the word sover means would wait patiently. Korova refers to the shliach tzibur, was because he draws the korov. He's causing the tzibur to come closer to Hashem, and so he would wait. So basically, what it really means is the Rashba explains this in Brachas. What it means is that he would say modem drabanan very slowly, so that he would start with the shliach tzibur when the shliach tzibur would start his modem. He would say the modem drabanan slowly, 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 so that when the shliach tzibur would finish at the end of the bracha and say and bow down brachat Hashem toshim kol chonelo odos, at that point he would say Ashanachu modem loch baruch kel haodos, and he would also bow down together with the shliach tzibur. This is considered the mokar. This Yerushalmi is a mokar for that minhag. My Rebbe, my mashgiach in Scranton, Rebbe Ram Turin, he was a telzer, al vashalom, and he, every day, you know, he would bow down all the way, regular modem, like, you know, at the end. Okay. I haven't seen many people do this, but anyway, this is the mokar. If Zera Savala Karova, he would go slowly, to bow down together with the shliach tzibur, both at the beginning and at the end, when he said Baruch Kalados. Yasser came and he saw people were bowing down and murmuring. They were saying something. What are they murmuring about? So the Gemara says, didn't you hear this? A Rekalba, which we're going to introduce in a minute. We're going to bring a whole bunch of different nuschos of what modern Rabbanu was like. Now we're going to quote a whole bunch of different nuschos of modem. We're going to go through it very quickly. These different names. They said the following. Now here is the main thing we want to focus on. Is the last part of this Yerushalmi, which says that they actually made a bracha, not just Baruch Kel HaHodos, which is an Aridosa, but the Yerushalmi actually has them making a bracha at the end, Bracha to Hashem Kel HaHodos. This is quoted, in the Torah, in Sim Kuf Hav Zayin, and the Torah, after he quotes the Nusach of Modern Rabbanan, he says it will be Yerushalmi, Chosim Bar Bracha to Hashem HaKel HaHodos. Very interesting. The Torah says that the Rosh himself actually made, he was Messiah, Modem Drabanan, with a bracha, Brachat Hashem Kel HaHodos. We don't pass it that way, but it's interesting to note. No. He bowed down in the beginning, Modem Nachloch, right? At the beginning of Modem Drabanan. And when he said Ashanachu Modem Loch Baruch Kel HaHodos, when he said that Modem Loch, he again bowed down a second time. Yeah, that's a Rashba. It's based on this Yerushalmi. If you look around, you'll see. So once in a while, you'll see people do it. I do it. But what? Look at you. You do it? Wow. How about that? Okay. And the Rambam, by the way, says that when the tzibur bows, they should not bow. A full bowing when they say modem, the tzibur should just go nod like this. Rambam speaks this out explicitly, not to bow like the regular bowing. And the Beis Yosef here explains the reason for it is because it's not part of the Ikra Takana, so we only want to have the bowing, as we mentioned yesterday, only with the Ikra Takana. Okay. Rabba Barazantam Shem Ram, here's another Nusach. Another Nosach, Reb Shmuel Bar Mino, Shem Rabacho, Hidoy of Shach, Shimkul, Chagidul, Chagful, Chot First, Yosef and Nechashem, Lokinum, Kavasenu, Shimkinum, Tivasenu, Sisbekinum, Tivasenu, Katu, Somek Nofu. Okay? Zokir Kufufim, Mali Rachmim, on Tesla Manalaf, Vainod Vadacha, Rocha Tashem, Kelha Odos. Another version, Markapora Amar, Lachok Kri, Lachok Fifu, Lachonish Dachavoy, Lachok Baricha, Kilachos Sircha Kuberak, Kishima Kuloshom, Kosham Gulag, Defense of Israel, Hoy, Kobash, Kosham, Mokom, Sits in Laroish. I shall have never to wash my coat, you have to go to the call. I told him when I'm at Loch Mohammed Shift to attack him, call him from Nevish Mustachim. Call it's my Sutomana, I shall be from Ocha, Master of the Post, none of you remember. That's like Bahatashim Kalados again. So we have these are different versions. I'm sure if you study them closely, there probably is a theme. I did not study them each individually to come up with the difference. But the main point over here is going back to the question that Gemara asked on Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi saw everybody murmuring. And he says, Mahu Dein Lachisha, and the Gemara was wondering, he doesn't know about all these different nuschos of all these different Rabbanim. Lashmiya Demar Reb Chelbo. Let's see, I didn't notice. Which one is Reb Chelbo? Anyone see Reb Chelbo here? I haven't seen the word Reb Chelbo. Anyway, whatever it is. I don't know what the word Chel, I don't know where Reb Chelbo is mentioned. What? Do we have it? I didn't notice it. I mean, I didn't notice it before either. I went looking for it. I must have missed it. But anyway, it's the very first one.
Okay.
What? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Did you not hear Reb Chelbo? And I haven't been able to find where Reb Chelbo is. Anyway, why is he wondering what everybody's murmuring? Does he know that I have all these different schos? So the Gemara answers, I'm a Reb Yudon, Nohagin Rabbanan Amrin Kulan, that there were some rabbis who said all of his schos. So, you know, you have such a large variety of different fields to say. There were some rabbis who said them all.
Did everybody agree that there's Shem Hashem at the end here?
Yeah, everyone said Baruch Atah Hashem Kel Hodos. What?
No, the Bavli list, the one that we say.
Yes.
Is a conglomeration of all the ones that are mentioned.
That's correct.
They don't do that.
Yeah, it's a little different here.
So let me
just say the pshat here on the terrace of the Gemara. So Reb Yudon is saying, Nagan Rabban and Amrin Kulon. Some of the rabbis said all of them, and that's why the Istam and Ohada, but there were people who said one or the other. They picked which Nusach that they would say. Now, obviously, Reb Yossi had chosen, it was custom to saying one of the short ones. He had finished saying his short thing, looked around and saw everybody kept going and going and going, and that's what he was asking. What's going on here? What's everybody murmuring about? That's what the Yerushalmi says in the answer. Yes.
How come? So who is Masakin to take out Shem Hashem at the end here?
The Bavli.
So that means fundamentally Yerushalmi's did and Bavli didn't?
That's correct.
Uh-huh.
That is correct.
Do we know why Bavli took it out?
It says here on the Beis Yosef. Okay. Similarly, he compares this to the same machlokas you see Bavli Yerushalmi by the bracha of Bar Nefashis Rabos, which we end Baruchei Olamim, but the Yerushalmi ends it Bracha to Hashem, right? I don't have the exact lesson here, but Yerushalmi says the same thing over there to say Achasim at the end of the bracha Brayin Fashos. There too, we do exactly the same thing. We don't have that in ours, so Bavli does not have a Achasim. Okay, let's go on. Tony, Vavashli Shuf Yosem, we die. This might be the marker for the Rambam, not to bow down too far. Okay. So it might be a marker. We're going to see in a second. It might be a question. We're going to see in a second. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Uvuchod li'avir padeim tardon. But don't bow down in the way, it says here, of a ferret, which bows its body, keeps its head erect. I mean, I don't know. I'm not that familiar with ferrets and how they look. But Elokol Atzmasa Tumana Hashem Mifamocha, you should bow your head in accordance with that verse, meaning, like the Bavli says, that the person's supposed to have a Hashtachavah, it's supposed to be actually Pakakul Kol Chilius Shevashidra, that you're supposed to bow down so that the vertebrae in your backbone protrude as you bend over. But more than that, not. So to go all the way down, you know, either all the way down, and I think that 90 degrees is too far, or certainly not to go down on the floor. So that's not, now over here, the Haredim has a very strong language over here. If you go down to the fourth line, he says, on Tesvav HaMelech, Amar B'yirmi Yavuchut L'yavar B'dayim Padona, L'suach K'meshuga B'lidas, to bow down like a meshugana without any das. I think I'm getting to like this Haredim, I gotta tell you. I like it, like the way he describes certain. I can tell you, like, he saw different people behaving certain ways, which he didn't meet his expectations. Anyway,
they bow depending on your hierarchy. So either bow could be always 90 degrees, but just a nod, or something in between. Depends on if you're a foreigner, you get a deeper bow, and depends on equals.
Uh-huh. Okay. Here we're going to see a similar type of thing. Most of the Hanan Bar Bo Pliga. Now, Hanan Bar Bo disagrees. The Hanan Bar Bo Melachavaya, he said to the Talmidei Chachamim, "Name Elohim Nosa Tova the Chamis LaRav of it." I want to tell you something good that I saw Rav do. Chamis Megensi that I saw. Ba'amar Eri used to come to Shmuel. I sent in front of Shmuel. V'kom in a shaka for me. He gave me a kiss on my mouth. Baruch Atah. Shocheach, that when he came to bow by, that is to say, when Rav came to bow by Baruch Atah, he would bend down, and when he said Balahaskar Hashem, when he said Hashem's name, Zokef, he would stand up. Shmuel Amar, I know Amar's time. I'll tell you the reason. Hashem Zokef Kafufim. This is, I think, is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that Hashem makes the people, straightens the people up. So therefore, it's proper for you to stand up. Straighten out, and is to say, when you say Hashem's name, Amar Rav Ami, lo mis davra, that's not reasonable. Elonei shmi nichasu, seems preferably the other way. On the contrary, when I'm saying Hashem's name, that's when I'm supposed to be machnia myself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's when I should, on the contrary, be bent over as I say Hashem's name. So he didn't agree with this whole way of thinking. Amar Rav Avin, if it would have said he was humbled at my name, Yos would be correct. But it doesn't say at my name, Bishmi. Less ksiv elo mipnei shmi nifasu. That is before my name, which means kodem. Before I mentioned Hashem's name, that's when I'm humbled. Actually, his gross Hashem, franichasu. He was already humbled as he bent down when he said Baruch Atah. Okay, Reb Shmuel bar Nosim b'shem Reb Chama bar Chanino, ma'isim b'achash shochah. Yosem, he died. There was a story where there was this one guy who bowed too far. They have a Rebbe, and Rebbe dismissed him from the post. Now, the language over here of heavier, they are medayik from the language of heavier. So it means they took him off the post. It means he was actually shliach tzibur, because it doesn't make sense to heavier. If it's a losh, if it's a yoch and davening, it wouldn't make sense, that language, that he had dismissed him. It means he had a position, meaning he was a shliach tzibur. And Rebbe kicked him out because it's too much gaiva. It's too much gaiva for the Shliach Tzibur can't be showing off what a big tzaddik is. Rebbe Ami Amar Yochanan Havamavar, that he would also do the same thing. He'll get rid of anybody who was going praving, as my father used to say, praving sifil from a shtick. Amar Leiv Kiyah Bar Boa Lei Havamavir Elagar. Now. He said that Rabbi Yochanan would not dismiss him, but he would rebuke him sharply. So there's a little bit of a question exactly. How do you deal? This is the ongoing question. How do you deal with people that are not behaving properly? Do you kick them out or do you pull them over and give them a little muster? Okay, I'll say. These are the brachas that begin with barf. Kol ha-brachas paskum hem barf. So every bracha begins with barach, but if it's next to its friend, in other words, if it's Kriya Shema, where let's say, right, you started off with Yotzer Moros, right, Yotzer Avari Choshak, so that bracha, and Avaravas Mukhalachavatos, and therefore you will not say, you won't start Avarava with Baruch. And the same thing for the rest of the brachas. Chosiv Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to ask a bunch of questions. Hare Geula. What about the bracha of the redemption? Now this redemption is referring to the Mepharshim say at the Pesach Seder. That is to say, okay, the one thing you have to know here, there's a little fact here. The way our Seder goes, this question wouldn't make any sense at all. Because the bracha of Geula in our Seder is a standalone bracha that's not smukah to anything. But the Mepharshim explained that in the Yerushalmi's time, they would actually say a bracha before they started the halal part. They would say ligmor es halal. They would say the bracha. And therefore, you had a bracha before halal. You said the two kapitlach over there, right? Mizrach Shemesh and B'tzeis Yisrael. And then you would start the bracha for the geula before the cup. So the question the Yerushalmi is that they're asking is, why would that bracha of geula begin with Baruch, since it's smucha lechavrata, it shouldn't begin with Baruch. That's the way they explain this question. The Gemara says, at least it's one of the ways it's explained. Shain Yahi, that's different. Now, this is a very interesting answer. The Mar Rabbi Yochanan said, Hallel, im shama bebesach nasas yotza. If you heard Hallel in shul, you were yotze already. In other words, some of you may know this, there's a Sfard, and here in Shomrei also, after we finish Meirev on Pesach night, everybody knows, whoever wants to say Hallel should stay. My minog is not to say Hallel, but I stay anyway because the Rav, Rish Beres, who said that this was a very hush of a minog, it has Makaris in the Sefer Sofrim, and he held very stark for the minog. So I have someone be moitzi me with the bracha, and I say the Hallel Sholem, together with the tzibur without a bracha because it's against my minhag. But that's a personal thing. It's not important. But the point is, what the point of the teretz is like this. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that since it is, notice the language. He says, im shama b'beis haknesses, if you heard it in the shul. So what that means is, this is the way the Vilna Gaon explains it and as it goes on Shulchan Aruch. What it means is, that there were Amaratzim in the shul we were being moitzi the Amaratzim in shul with the Hallel because they didn't know how to say Hallel. And as a result of that, right? So as a result of that, what he's saying is, it's possible that they heard that Hallel in shul, in which case they really didn't have to say Hallel again during the Seder, but they would say it again, but they didn't have to say, they obviously wouldn't say another bracha, because they were yotze already in shul. So the answer is basically, so here's the bottom line. The bottom line on this answer is that even though we do say, in other words, the Yerushalmi does say the bracha, but since sometimes some people would be yotze in shul, therefore those people did not say a bracha. And since for them there was no bracha, the mele of the bracha of geula was no longer a bracha smucha lechavrata. Since for those people it was not a bracha smucha lechavrata, we across the board assigned it with an opening bracha of Baruch. Okay, I hope that makes sense. Okay. Now, we're going to have a bunch of questions on this. What about the end? The end. Now, what is this end again? Oh, what's that? So what was this question again? Let me just remind myself over here. This is the bracha. Yeah, right, correct, you're right. The bracha of Asher Go'alonu. Right, why does the bracha of Asher Go'alonu at the Seder end with bracha Hashem Ba'al Yisrael? You already started with bracha Hashem, so why do you have a concluding blessing? Because there are two geulas in that bracha, right? There's a bracha referring to the bracha thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us Mitzrayim, and there's also a second part of that bracha, which is a tefillah kein yagienu, right? That Hashem should bring us to the future geulas. So since that bracha v'asher golonu contains two aspects, so therefore they had two brachas, one at the beginning and at the end, okay? Achas lavo, v'achas l'shal avar. So there was one in the past, one in the future, so therefore it begins and ends with a bracha. Ha-tevun, hare habdala. What about habdala? Means you you said by priyag gofen, so why isn't this the bracha of hamadu b'kosh l'chol a smuch l'chavrato, because it's next to by priyag gofen. So Mar says, shani, that's different. Mar b'mar reba bar zavdo, rebi ha-yema fazron, that Rabba said in the name said over to us that Rebbe used to scatter, means he used to scatter the brachas. He would say, he would say Hamadu b'kosh l'chol without even having a cup of wine right after Shabbos. He would just say Hamadu b'kosh l'chol as a bracha b'fei atzmo. So the chayzer would fall on the coast. Then when he came home, then he would say them on the coast of Bar Priyag Gofen. So since sometimes it was said independently, it was not considered smuch l'chavrato. Okay. Rav Chiya Rava Haim Machanson. Yes, it says over here to have his children and the other members of household fulfill their obligation. He was mean Moitzi, his name is Shpach. Correct. So, Rav Chiya Rava Haim Machanson, he used to put them together. He would always gather them together the way we do it. Okay, so that's the way we're Nohik, obviously. Ha-tevun, another question. Hare Nevorech. What about Nevorech? Now, this Nevorech is Berchus Hamazon. So it's a question in the Mefarshim exactly what this is referring to precisely. Is Nevorech referring to Berchus Hazimon? Or is Nevorech referring, well, let's learn like most of the Mefarshim over here that's referring to actually the Berchus Hamazon itself. And the Gemara is asking, when you started Berchus Hamazon, why would you start Berchus Hamazon with Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hazon Nisa Olam? You already said when you said Mevarech Shachalom Shalom Berchus Hazimon, you said a bracha already. So why start the next one with a bracha? It should be Smuch L'Chavrut. Very difficult question, because even if you said Zimon, you didn't have Shem Malchus. So I didn't understand this question so well, according to those pshatim. Okay, but anyway, that's the way some people learn. So the Gemara says, Shan Yehi, it's different. Obviously, sometimes you would have the bracha of Berchus Hamazon without Zimun. So therefore, since it's sometimes without Zimun, it's not considered smuch l'chavrut. Okay? Yeah, that's what he seems to be saying. Just even though it's just three people. Notice how he's saying sometimes it's only two people sitting, so he holds even three people saying that's considered a bracha, and you would not start the benching with a bracha. Very shver. We hold that you need shema malchus, it's ma'akiv, and it's a very, very difficult question. So the Gemara goes on and says, Hare hazones hakol. At the end of the bracha of Berchus Hamazon, you say bracha Hashem Hazanas Hakol. What are you saying bracha for? It was smuch l'chavrato. What? Without Elokeinu? Right. So they're not focused on that aspect of it. They're focused on the same on why they're saying it. So the Gemara says kasha. That's difficult. It's difficulty. Now, one last thing before we quit for the night. Hare Hatova HaMetiv. What about Hatova HaMetiv, the fourth bracha of the benching? That's certainly a smuch l'chavrato, because you just said Bani Yerushalayim Amen, right? So I mean, without the Amen, let's suppose you didn't say Amen. It would certainly be smuch l'chavrato. So why are you starting it? So the one says Shan Yehi. That is different. Why? The Mar Rav Huna on 16a. The Marav Huna Mishenitnu Haruge Malchus Litvura Nikva Hatov HaMeitiv Hatov Shalanisuchu HaMeitiv Shenitnu Litvura. Obviously, we all know about this. That was a special nace that happened. They were masakin a special bracha for that nace. So, in other words, it's not really the bracha that follows. It's not referring to mentioning it altogether, and therefore, it's separate and distinct. So, yeah. And that's why we say amen, to distinguish it from one from the other. Yeah. I guess we'll stop here. Okay. Thank you very much.
Good job, Shlomo.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, and Mazel Tov.